Well, I invite you to open up in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3, as we are continuing on in our series and walking through the book of 1 Kings together. So while you are turning there, while I'm turning there, I've told you guys this story in the past. I know I have. I don't remember when exactly, but when Dara and I lived in Angleton, I was the youth pastor at a church called Northway Baptist down there, and we and the church found out we were having triplets, and so naturally a lot of people are pretty excited about that. And they also, people recognize that when you're going to have a lot of kids, you need a lot of stuff. And things get pretty expensive pretty quickly. And so the church came together and collectively bought us our van. So we have that Honda Odyssey out there. And the church, like members of the church, came together and just said, we want to provide a van for Mason and Dara and for those kids. And so in 2018, they went above and beyond the van, and actually members from the church gave us a little bit over $30,000. Just, and so like I showed up in my office one day, and we had these little boxes in the office to where like there was a student pastor box, and I walked up and there was a $6,000 check just in my box one day from a dentist in our church. And there was another, several other families. One family gave us like $9,000. Another family gave us $1,500. And when you're receiving that, one, it's kind of overwhelming. Two, and honestly, you feel kind of bad that people are providing that for you. But also it's pretty humbling that people want to do that for you. And so I was talking with a buddy who, one of my best friends down there, and he and his wife had suffered a pretty devastating miscarriage. Probably the baby was about 6 months along, and people from the church wanted to provide money to pay for all of their funeral expenses for that child. And at first he was like, no, we don't need anyone's money. And then he was talking with the pastor, Aaron, and Aaron said, listen, man, when people want to help, let them help. It's okay. And so that's the advice that he and Aaron both gave me with regard to the van. And I was finally like, okay, well, I'm going to, like, people want to help. They are excited to provide this for us. And so I'm gonna be grateful for it. And so what we were able to do is I took that money. We went to a dealership in Houston, and I literally went in there and paid cash for the van. And it was a cool experience. I'm going to be honest. That was a really cool experience. Now, looking back on it, looking back on that time, I'm so grateful for the way that that church provided for us. They were so generous towards us. Not just in that time, but especially in that time towards us. And so why do I tell you that? Because when you hear stories of great generosity in that way, you always feel emotion towards it. You always feel positively towards that. Why? Because that is what God is like. That's what God is like, is he is a generous God. And so that's what we're going to see in 1 Kings chapter 3 this morning, is that God is coming to Solomon, and he is expressing a truth about himself, and that is his generosity. And so he comes to Solomon here in verse 5, and here's what the text says. Look at verse 5 in 1 Kings chapter 3 with me. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream, and God said, ask, what should I give you? And Solomon replied, you have shown great and faithful love to your servant, my father David, because he has walked before you in faithfulness, righteousness, and integrity. You have continued this great and faithful love for him by giving him a son to sit on his throne as it is today. Lord my God, you have now made your servant king in my father David's place, yet I am just a youth with no experience in leadership. Your servant is among your people you have chosen, a people too many to be numbered or counted. So give your servant a receptive heart to judge your people and to discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? Now it pleased the Lord that Solomon had requested this, And God said to him, because you have requested this and did not ask for a long life or riches for yourself or the death of your enemies, but you have asked for discernment for yourself to administer justice, I will therefore do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and understanding heart so that there has never been anyone like you before and never will be again. In addition, I will give you what you did not ask for, both riches and honor, so that no king will be your equal during your entire life. If you walk in my ways and keep my statutes and commands, just as your father David did, I will give you a long life. Then Solomon woke up and realized it had been a dream. And he went to Jerusalem, stood before the Ark of the Lord's Covenant, and offered burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. And then he held a feast for all his servants. Let's pray as we open up God's word. So, Father, we come before you, and we thank you for the word that we've read now in 1 Kings. And so we ask for open hearts, open minds to hear what you want to say to us this morning through what you've already spoken through Solomon's life. And so help us, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So like I said, what God is coming to do here is he's coming to express something to Solomon, that he is going to be with him. So as we saw last week, Solomon is now the king, and God appeared to him. And he was confronted with God's severity, with God's concern over what's happening in the high places, places of unfaithfulness, and God's the true worship of God being in God's temple. But then also, after that, he sees God's faithfulness, and that God comes to him and expresses, just like I was with your dad, I'm going to be with you. You are the king of my people, and so I'm going to walk with you. And so that's what we see. Yeah, we see Solomon's reaction to that, in which he responds similarly to his dad in like saying, who am I that I should have this relationship, that I should be in this position with you? And so now we see, here is what God said, ask, what should I give you? What should I give you? So God came to him and expressed, I want you to ask me for things. I want to provide for you. Now, there's a truth about God that we see in this, and that God is one who wants to provide for us. He wants to come to us. He wants us to pray to him so that he can hear and respond quickly to it. So there's a parable in Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, there's a parable that I want you to see. So if you want to turn over there with me, you can. Luke chapter 18, starting in verse 1. Jesus is telling a parable, and here's his point. Here's his point. He said, now he told them a parable on the need for them to pray always and not give up. Now there was a judge in a certain town who didn't fear God or respect people, and a widow in that town kept coming to him. This judge was in the town. He didn't care about God, didn't care about the people. A widow came to him and said, give me justice against my enemy, against my adversary. And for a while, the judge was unwilling, but later he finally said to himself, even though I don't care about God and I don't respect people, he's a horrible politician. Yet because this woman, this widow, keeps pestering me, I'll give her justice. I'll give her what she wants so that she doesn't wear me out by her persistent coming, because she's obviously not giving up. Then the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. He said, if this unjust judge, the one who doesn't care about God, doesn't care about people, is willing to give what this woman wants because of her consistent pestering, will not God grant justice to his elect who cry out to him day and night? Will he delay in helping him? Jesus's point here is that God is not like that unjust judge. He's the opposite of that unjust judge, where this woman had to come to him and pester him over and over and over, saying, please give me help, please give me justice. And Jesus's point is, God is not like that. You don't have to pester God for him to care about what's happening in your life. He said, will not God grant justice to those who cry out to him? His point is God hears and he is quick to act. That is Jesus' point. And now here, back in 1 Kings, God is expressing that to Solomon. He says, ask me, come to me. I want to hear. I want to provide. I want to give what you most want. Ask me. Ask me. That's what he says. What should I give you? And so here's the question. It's how do we wrestle with that truth that the Bible clearly tells us is true about God, that God is quick to hear our prayers, quick to listen, quick to respond to our prayers, while it also seems like some of our prayers go unanswered? How do we reconcile those two things together? And I'm not meaning to be rude in any sense, but I might suggest, because this is true in my own life, I might suggest that you don't see many prayers answered by God because you don't pray about many things. You might not see many prayers answered because you probably don't pray about that many things. And I've seen that happen in my own life. Like, how many circumstances, how many situations, how many work things or school things or relationship things or kid things do I encounter on a daily basis or a weekly basis that I never pray about? It happens all the time for me. And so back when we were walking through the life of Joseph last year, when we had a building, we were walking through the life of Joseph, and there was a sermon within that in which we took a break from Joseph's life, and we started looking at how do you live like God is the hero of your story. And the whole point of that sermon was about prayer. And we looked at a lot of John Calvin's writings in that, and what he pointed us to was that prayer is a constant reminder that God is the source of all spiritual growth and blessing. God is the source of all spiritual growth and blessing. And so after that sermon, I personally started to think, okay, well, what are the things in my life? What are the little things in my life that I should pray about to express my dependence upon God? If God is the source of all good things, and I want good things to happen in my daily life, then I should probably pray about it. And so I started praying about little things. And so soon after that sermon, I took all of my kids to Sam's. Dara wasn't with us. It was just me in our van. And Dara is a saint. She's, like, amazing. And so she can do this no problem. But I'm, like, driving to Sam's with all four of our kids. And I haven't done this a whole lot and taken all four of them, no stroller. We're going to Sam's to go get a pizza. And so, by the way, Sam's the greatest pizza place in the world, Sam's. So we're going to get a pizza. Brent's totally wrong on this. So we're going to Sam's to pick up a pizza, and I'm driving there, and I'm getting more and more anxious about walking into Sam's because, like, you know what? I don't want one of my kids, like, to get hit in the parking lot. And, like, I've got a bunch of little 1.5-year-olds or 2-year-olds, and I'm just like, I just don't want them sprinting off, and I can't control. I don't have that many arms. And so I'm driving to Sam's, and I'm getting anxious, and finally it hits me. I'm like, well, I just did a sermon about praying about little things, like, and acting like God is the hero of your story. And so I'm going to pray. And so as I'm driving, pulling into Sam's parking lot, I say, God, please give me a close parking spot so that way I can get my kids safely in there and safely out. And it can be a good experience for us. And I'm not kidding. We drove into the Sam's parking lot, and I got the very first spot on the row. I'm not kidding. The very first spot on the row. Now, most of us, when we experience that, we pray and we're like, God, please help me. Like, give me your favor in this. And then when it happens, most of us often then chalk that up to as a coincidence. Like, you're like, okay, give me the first spot. And then we're like, wow, that was coincidence. Awesome. I got the front row spot. And then we just kind of move on with our lives. Like that, like, and even for me in telling the story, I'm like, should I hedge that and say that was coincidence or not? Like, does God really care about my parking spot? I'm like, clearly I prayed about it and then God provided it. But even in that moment, I'm wanting to say, well, it's probably coincidence, you know? But God is providing for us. I've seen it over and over in my life. How many relationship issues or things that have happened, like church-wise, where I'm like praying for unity or praying about this announcement we've got to make or praying about this relationship thing. And I'm like, God, please help this work out. And then it's amazing. I pray for these things. And then after the event happens, it was way smoother than I was building it up to be in my heart. Why? Probably because I prayed about it. And so we see this. This is what God is trying to say, is pray to me, come to me, ask me, what do you want? I am ready to provide. I'm waiting to provide for you. And Jesus says this, Matthew chapter 7. Jesus said this, is what Jared read for us. Listen, just listen to the words of Jesus here. He says this, ask and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. And the one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Who among you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, who are evil, this is kind of his collective term for all of us, know how to give good gifts for your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Just hear the word of the Lord. That is what Jesus says to you about your Father in heaven. That's how he feels towards you when you pray to him. Just like when my daughter or my son come and they want an orange. It's our favorite fruit in the whole wide world, okay? I always buy buckets of oranges. And they just want more oranges, okay? And like when they come to me and like, Dad, can we get another orange? I'm never like, you know what? How about instead I hit you in the head? Like, no, I don't do that. Why? Because I love my kids. Of course I give them an orange because they're the greatest. So just, sorry, I love oranges. So God comes to Solomon just as he comes to you and just as he comes to me and says this, ask, what should I give you? Hear it. And so in that question, that is grace from God. That is grace from God in that he's wanting to come and provide for us. But also implied in that question is also a little bit of a test, right? Because when God comes, he says, what do you want me to give you? The world is open to you. How you respond to that reveals what's really in you. How you respond to that question reveals what's really in your heart. So I asked June this question last night. She came home from her grandparents, and I said, hey, June, if you could have anything in the entire world, what would you want? And she said, smoothies. Okay, awesome. I can do that. But if I'm asking for me, like if I'm legit responding to this question, what do you want? What is my most natural inclination? Where do I naturally go? Well, again, I start to think about, like, what do I most want in this world? And if the one who had the power to make all this happen asked me this question, here's my response. Here would be my response. I want all of my student loans paid off. I want a long, happy, easy life. That's what I want. Like those, like if I'm really answering the question, that's the thing that I want. Because the most important thing in the world to me is me, right? And so that's how I'm going to naturally answer that question. So your response to this question, when God comes to you and says, ask me, what do you want me to provide for you? What you answer, how you answer, reveals what's in your heart. And so look, I want you to see this, because this is really important for us here. Look at Solomon's answer. Lord my God, verse 7. Verse 6. Solomon replied, you have shown great and faithful love to your servant, my father David, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and integrity. You have continued this great and faithful love for him by giving him a son to sit on his throne, as it is today. Lord my God, you have now made your servant king in my father's place, yet I am just a youth with no experience in leadership. He's probably in his early 20s at this point. Your servant is among your people you have chosen, a people too many to be numbered or counted. So here's his request. So give your servant a receptive heart to judge your people and to discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? God comes to him and asks, ask, what do you want me to provide for you? And Solomon is now in this new role, governing all of God's people with limited leadership experience, and he's reflecting upon what he's been called to do, the task of God, and he recognizes, I don't have it within me to fulfill this. And so he turns to God and he says, what I want is a hearing heart. So he says, a receptive heart. Literally, it says hearing heart. Now, in the Bible, does Bible speak? When you say hearing, that's connected to obeying. And so what he's asking for in this asking for a receptive heart, what he's asking for is a heart that is here, that hears God and responds to it in obedience, to where when God speaks, he hears it and knows it. And so when he sees his world, when he sees matters of justice, matter like different situations, the world as a whole, when he looks out, he would see everything just as God would see it, so that he could govern his people just as God would do it. That's what he asked for. He said, God, give me a heart that is so in tune with yours so that when you speak into the world, I hear it and I can respond accordingly. That's what he asked. He said, give me a heart so in tune with yours so that when you speak, I'll hear it and be able to respond. He wants to know the mind of God, to be connected with God, to lead God's people just as God would. And that is an amazing prayer. That's an amazing prayer because every bit of it is about God's people. Every bit of the prayer was focused on how can I do the most good for the people that I need to care for. That is his prayer. That's an amazing prayer. And how many times do I pray like that? So I saw this online. I read it online. And I printed it out and taped it up on my wall in my office when I had one. And it said this, is if all of your prayers came true today, who would be saved? What gospel advancement would occur? Whose marriage would be restored? And how many people would be sent out to the mission field? And when I first read that, I was really convicted because if I started really thinking about it, every one of those answers would be not much, not much. And so Solomon here gives us this premier example of a godly leader praying for the good of everyone under his care, praying in the way that God would pray himself. That's what he's showing us. So do you pray like that? Do you pray for the good of God's people? For the gospel to move forward, for people to be saved, for marriages to be restored, for relationships to be restored, for kids, rebellious kids, to come back under God's fold. Do you pray for that? And look at God's response here. Look at verse 10. And now it pleased the Lord that Solomon requested this. That is a powerful sentence right there. That is a powerful sentence. Why? Because the God of all heavens looked and heard, looked at Solomon, heard his prayer, and when he heard it, it pleased him. It pleased him. If you want to please God, pray for the good of God's people. And so God heard this prayer, and then what we're going to see next in verse 11 is that God honored it. God heard this and responded and honored it. Look what he says in verse 11. Now God said to him, because you have requested this and did not ask what Mason would have asked. Look what he says. Because you've requested this and did not ask for a long life or riches for yourself or the death of your enemies. I wouldn't have prayed for that, but you asked for discernment for yourself to administer justice. Because you asked for these things for the good of my people, I will therefore do what you asked. I'm going to do it. I will give you a wise and understanding heart so that there has never been anyone like you before and never will be again. In addition, I will give you what you did not ask for. I'm going to make you rich and I'm going to make you famous. I'm going to give you honor so that no king will be your equal during your entire life. If you walk in my ways and keep my statutes and the commands just as your father David did, I will give you a long life as well. Then Solomon woke up and realized it had been a dream. Dreams back then weren't figments like where you have a dream now and you're like, oh, I guess that was weird. I guess I'll just move on and go to work today. Dreams back then, like if you had an encounter with God in a dream, that was a legit thing. It meant things. And so he realized it was a dream, an encounter with God. And so he went to Jerusalem, stood before the Ark of the Lord's Covenant, and offered burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. And then he had a feast for all of his servants. And tying this back into what we saw last week, God is already providing the wisdom that Solomon has asked for. That instantly, God is providing the wisdom that Solomon has already asked for. How do we know that? Because what happened last week? Where was Solomon offering sacrifices? At the high places. That's where God is coming to him. At Gibeon, the high place. And then where does Solomon go to offer sacrifices now after this encounter with God? To the Ark of the Lord in Jerusalem. Where God said, that is going to be the place where you're going to worship me. He's already demonstrating the wisdom that God he's prayed for. He's already doing that. And so now, this is a great example for you and me of showing us the picture, the mindset, the concern, and a faith that pleases God, one who prays for the good of God's people. And so now, you and me, we read about this, a man coming to lead God's people in this manner with this amount of concern for us, and we look at that longingly. We're like, man, I want to be like that. I want to follow a leader like that. And then we look at Solomon's great descendant, Jesus. And this is true. And he came 1,000 years later, but instead of praying for a heart to gain God's wisdom, to gain God's concern, to be able to gain God's ability to administer justice, he just brought one with him. To where he was able to say, Jesus was able to say, I and the Father are one. And John was able to write about him in John 1:18, where he says, no one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is at the Father's side, he has revealed him. He has revealed him. And so all of the wisdom of God, all of the revelation about God, how God lives, how God governs, how God judges, Jesus did it exactly. Why or how? Because he is God. He is the leader that we all dream of following. That man, Jesus, is the pinnacle, Solomon. And so Solomon prayed for a heart in tune with God to be able to administer justice and to carry out God's will among God's people. And that prayer itself looked forward to a day in which God would provide someone who would do it perfectly. And so he sent his son Jesus to fulfill it. And so that is who we worship. That is why we worship Jesus. That's why we gather together, because that king has come and he died for you and me to take our sin away. And then he rose back to life so that he can reign as the wise king in our hearts today. And then we look forward to the day in which he is going to return for us. And that is why we gather. We worship him. We worship him, the wise king.